Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar, on this special election night show. It's kind of crazy out here. It's getting kind of hectic. And if you want to call in and talk about it, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You want to talk about it in the chat room, you can come to the website, smoothdrama.com. We have our illustrious and very anonymous chat room, so you don't have to put your real name in. It will appoint you a name, not of your choice, but if you want to, you can change it to whatever you want. It is all good in the Smooth Drama Hood. So once again, you want to talk to us about what's going on, your feelings, projections, you can call us, or you can jump into the chat rooms at smoothdrama.com. If you're on social media, you can ask to get into the Facebook group, myself, or Kanye West is a personal assistant, Mr. J, will let you in. Kanye West, personal assistant, Mr. J, will let you in the Smooth Drama group if you want to get in. I'm just saying, he don't know what I'm talking about anyway. So, and pretty much anywhere you find Smooth Drama, follow us, add us, talk to us. And we will follow you, add you, and talk to you. So, Yeah, the apocalypse and the election. And
aren't they kind of one and the same?
because it's been everybody thought it was going to be shootout at the OK Corral at the polling places. But no, none of that stuff happened. Now, there's some stuff that happened. There's a lot of stuff that happened.
I just assumed that was all going to happen afterwards. Like, not tonight, but tomorrow, depending, you know?
Well, that's all on the table. That's all on the table. We don't know what's going to happen. But what's happened today, today and leading up through the weekend has been some extraordinarily delicious and amazing stuff. So, for example.
Delicious.
It's been delicious because it's just so out there crazy that you just can't help but laugh. So, for example, in Michigan and in other states that were closely contested, they've been getting roll calls talking about, hey, you know what? Because the lines is long, you ain't even got to worry about it. Like in Flint, Michigan in particular, where a certain incumbent was not expected to get favorable votes. The robocall said, hey, because of the long lines, you can just go vote on Wednesday.
What?
Yeah. He said, because of the long lines, you can go vote on Wednesday. So you don't have to worry about it. Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, when stuff like that happens, shouldn't you, like, be considered the loser? I mean, like, it's like, remember in middle school and high school when people would run for, you know, school, whatever, and if they were caught cheating in any way, they were disqualified. Like, doesn't the same rule apply?
Well, it's harder to cheat in, like, elementary and middle school and whatnot, because you've got administrators who don't have political agendas running it, right? So, like, a teacher. So you know, it's the one thing that I can say I did in this life. I was actually voted king of my elementary school.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Actually, it was probably one of the greatest honors that sucked.
Okay. Why were the great honors?
So. Okay. So, one, I didn't know I was that popular. So, it's like, when they said I was the one that was voted king of the school, I'm like, hell yeah. I went home, and I was like, Mama, I was voted king of school. She's like, okay, baby. You know, she's like, propping me up. It was good. Dinner was delicious that night. I don't even know what I ate, but it tasted the best that it could ever taste. I combed my hair, and I remember Lenore. She was voted queen. She's like, Miss Garrison, his hair ain't perfect. I'm like, wait, my hair is good. You know, it's little stuff. Why do I remember this? Because the queen rode on the float around the school.
You had a float?
Yes, we had a float.
Oh, gee.
Right. So, you know, it was Mardi Gras
time.
That's
like serious business.
Yeah,
oh,
so
okay.
It was Mardi Gras. It's the month. It was February, so it was Mardi Gras time, right?
Okay.
But the king don't ride on the float. The king walked by himself around the whole school while everybody's looking at the queen. She was living it up. She got this. You know, she's doing her thing. And I'm walking. So.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Yeah, right. So not that I wanted to interject myself into the election process. I'm just saying I have a horrible memory on winning. Anyway, I'm digressing. I don't want to bring back these happy, painful memories. In Georgia, they didn't do the robocall. Nah, they busted the pipes in Fulton County. So, the actual arena where they did the absentee balloting process, the pipes burst mysteriously in that building. So, yeah. So it's delayed. It's delayed.
Okay.
And Georgia is a very, very closely contested state. Very, very
and
closely
they're,
contested.
They're not gonna count their ballots until tomorrow.
Well, it was delayed, so they received before Tuesday 86,000 that were scanned, but they had over 130. They said the number was 130,517 absentee ballots, 86,000 of which were scanned, with the other 40 some thousand left to be scanned. But that's all delayed for right now. So you can see a scenario where you say, hey, there's some voter fraud going on there, because we don't know what happened when they moved those absentee ballots, whatnot.
Exactly.
Not to mention that there were quite a few places where they were talking to the post office, because, you know, I think last week there were certain places where the ballot boxes were in here in California and also in Boston, where somebody set the ballot boxes on fire. There was the post office guy who was, he was arrested because he just trashed the ballots. And that was in Pennsylvania. So all of these mysterious things are happening in those states that are very, very close. It's not a coincidence, but it is. It's very coincidental. Busted pipes.
Yeah, I mean.
So
yeah,
that
I mean,
called. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I just feel like the whole thing is just rigged. I mean, I've always felt that way from, you know, from years ago anyway, but I mean, now it's just even more so. So then, you know, it's like, well, does it matter? And I know it does, but does it really?
Well, I mean, you that is depending on where you are, a strategic question. So, for example, and while I'm still on this tangent, you know, Siri was involved too.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Siri is, right?
Who, Siri? Yeah, Siri?
Yeah, Siri.
Yeah.
That's
my cousin.
Siri.
I'm Siri.
Oh, Zuri and Siri. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't want to say that. Siri. Siri was saying the election day was next week.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Now, I bring that up because we start talking about how programs are programmed. Programs don't have an ad lib button. Like, you know, we can go off the top and it's not a big deal. Computer programs, they don't go off the top. You put in something and the computer program does it. It's one of those concrete things. Computer programs are concrete. They just, there's no diverging path. So,
okay.
I watch a show called Soulmates, and they go off the computer program, and I'm like, you know, computers are kind of stupid. They only do what humans tell them to do. So if the computer says, yeah, people are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
We've spent a whole apocalypse talking about how stupid people are. Apocalypse talking about how stupid people are.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm not talking about the people who are listening. I'm talking about the mother folks.
The ones who aren't listening.
Yes. Exactly.
So they don't know that they're stupid if they're not listening. You know that, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
All right. I mean, so going back to your point that it doesn't matter. All right. So, you know, in Oregon became the first state to decriminalize illegal drugs.
And what does that mean exactly? I was looking at that. And, like, so if I have a heroin, I don't go to jail. They put me in a rehab program or what?
Measure 110 decriminalizes the personal possession of small amounts of illicit drugs, including cocaine, heroin, oxycodone, and methamphetamine. It also reduces the penalties for possessing larger amounts. It funds health assessments, addiction treatment, harm reduction, and other services for people with addiction disorders by reallocating cannabis tax dollars and savings from law enforcement making fewer drug arrests. And so they're gonna take drugs out of the criminal justice system and treat their addiction as a medical problem. Proposition 110. Measure 110, my bad. And it passed in Oregon. So they are the first. They are the first state in the union to make drugs legal. So no matter what side of the aisle, as they call it in politics, you're on, if you're feeling sad, take a vacation in Oregon. Get high as you want. It won't matter. You can just go on that bender. Get it in. You won't get in trouble. You can walk down the street smoking your blood with cocaine in it.
You can do that in Colorado, too, though. You can, I mean.
Well, yeah.
But that was
weed. We talking about all drugs.
Well, that's what a blunt is. That's what a blunt is, though, is weed.
Yeah, I get that. But what I'm talking about heroin, baby.
Oh, so what you're saying is that you can have your little kid and all that now.
You get the hard stuff in Oregon. The mushrooms, all that.
I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, there's so much think about when that kind of thing happens or when that comes on, you know, comes up to be voted on. I mean, do they have it set up to where people can actually go into rehab centers? Like, who's paying for that? Because, you know, most of the people who are on drugs, you know, don't have health insurance, I'm sure.
All right, so
you know, if they're not working, so who's paying for them to be in rehab?
Right, but we're talking about this is in Oregon.
Yeah.
So the people in Oregon didn't want to put the citizens in Oregon in an unjust criminal system. Yeah, we have the criminal justice system right here in America. Now, from my recollections in the 80s and 90s, you know, we talked about how unjust the criminal justice system was and how it wasn't justice, it was just us. And the crack epidemic broke up a lot of families and did untold, unmeasurable harm to a lot of families and a lot of communities.
Mm-hmm.
So, allegedly, the more spiritual people in Oregon saw that they didn't want a crack epidemic, because they call it the opioid epidemic, and they didn't want to lock up their peoples. So instead, we're going to put them in medical facilities.
Yeah, so, and who's paying for this? I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, the difference between the crack epidemic, which was mostly people of color, as opposed to the opioid epidemic, which is mostly people not of color. So I see. So you're saying that, now they have, they found the funds to make sure that these people get treated.
Yes. I mean, all the operations that you fund with the police, all that's done.
Oh, so then that's what, but defund the police, and that's what they're saying. Okay, so now we're going to defund the police, and we're going to use this to help the opioid epidemic.
Well, see, you don't have to defund the police. See, what you're doing is this. So police work a lot of man hours on drug busts.
Yeah.
And you know, you have your undercover operations, whatnot. So what happens is, police ain't out here going through all these investigations. It'll be more a state-run drug operation now, as opposed to illegal. So you're cutting out the illegal people and making it legal.
So there'll be no more drug operations and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're cutting them guys off. And so now if you want your drugs, you're going to get it at your pharmacies, whatnot.
Okay.
So
I guess.
Remember we were talking about pharmacies, whatnot, and cutting out the street hustlers? Because now street hustlers, you know, the dudes that used to sell on the side, whatnot, they SOL. Because those measures, they kind of, they're also passing in different states also. So Arizona voted to legalize marijuana, and New Jersey, Montana, South Dakota, they were looking at measures that would up to an ounce of marijuana for recreational use. So basically, this is gentrification of the drug game. Drug dealers didn't see it coming. So while you were out there on the street, and you had your rim spinning, whatnot, and you out there, pow, pow, bang, bang, in the street, other folks was putting their money together and buying buildings so that they can sell it legally, because that was the next move. See, you legalize the drugs, and then, hey, you have to come to our store to buy the drugs. So all those illegal street guys, the dealers are going to go to jail. Get put out of business, so whatever.
Well, I was going to say, they can't go to jail if they're being put out of business.
Yeah, well, no, they don't go to jail because they're still going to be trying to sell. But the place where all the magic's going to happen is going to be in the legal places that are state-run that pay taxes. So that's why I said the gentrification of the drug game. It started with legalization. Everybody was like, yeah, legalization. My homegirls from Miles from Marijuana, I saw them. They was like, yeah, it's on and cracking. Can do my weed anywhere. It's like, okay, you might want to slow your roll, because you know the state gonna come in, and the state is like Paulie from Goodfellas. I don't know if you remember Goodfellas. Paulie got a taste of everything.
Yeah,
that's the state. State coming in like, know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, put my envelope over here. So everybody's going to be kicking up money. You have a pharmaceutical entrepreneurship. You don't have that building and the state don't regulate you, meaning you don't get approved and kiss the ring. Your ass is going to be out of business because the police, they only come in after you. The real thugs who got buildings and undercover police were off-duty officers working at security. They're going to be all right. And you won't be able to rob them because they're going to be backed by the state. Just putting it out there. So you want to talk about whether your vote counts? See, this is where the playing checkers of chess comes in. See, because once they legalize some stuff, legalization means gentrification. So everybody's looking, it's a misdirection. So everybody's looking in one direction, but the real game was right there all along with the drugs. So, boom, you see that Oregon's passed that measure. And now everybody on the street, they've already been on notice for a while. Because if you notice, we don't have corner boys no more. You can go from hood to hood, you don't really see corner boys, do you? Not like talking about it.
You know, and I don't know, because I see men on the corner, but I don't know what they're doing. I mean, I've always wondered that since we've had. I mean, are they just sitting there talking now, I would assume. They're just hanging out.
But
they might have a little hustle.
Right, but it used to be you knew there was a certain place where you know it was on there.
Yeah.
It was on
there.
No longer.
Yeah.
It's just like it's weird when you see sex entrepreneurs on the street. Like, what, you still doing that? It's weird. Because you're like, you're still doing that. Like, okay. I see you. I guess this is what we're doing. But for me, I'm looking long term. I'm seeing the long term implications, because I always think, if this happens, what are the next steps? And so we see.
And that's
the
what I was step, thinking, like, what is hopefully, you know, okay, let them go ahead and do that. And let's just watch and wait and see, because, like, not that I don't see any good coming from it, but I see very little good coming from it. I see more problems than solutions.
No, see, so I'll go back to my show, The Wire. You know, I still stand by The Wire as one of the most perfect shows ever. Homie designated an area. In this area, you can sell drugs. We won't fuck with you because nobody's here. You can't, look, if y'all want to kill each other, that's on you. But the cops ain't coming over here. You got carte blanche. If you mess it up, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the streets, the kids was playing outside. They're in the parks, whatnot. Everything was normal. And so I see this scenario. So what you do is this. Because you're engaging in gentrification on two different levels. So the first level was the real estate game and moving back into the places that are cheap by, you know, raising the prices and getting the folks out who can't afford to pay those prices. That's step one. Then you do the whole, hey, because we're more humane people. kind of gently. I'm going to legalize these drugs. I remember when folks was in the streets. You see everybody, yeah, it's legal. Then all of a sudden, all the street stuff dries up. So now, you know what? I'm going to save my point. Okay. We're going to go on break. When I come back, we're going to talk about it for a second because there's some stuff there. This is Sky Zoo. See you, Keith.
Together you got to move from us.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Sky Zoo, Sia Key. Our call-in number is 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
All right. So, let's talk about gentrification. And see, folks see gentrification as just, hey, people moving into a neighborhood and other people moving out. But no, gentrification is multifaceted. And so, like I said, you legalize these drugs, who's going to be able to sell them? Because we know COINTELPRO, which was the destabilization of the black family and the neighborhoods, the urban settings, and we won't be technical with the terms, the urban settings that these families lived in, you destroyed those by taking away the gainful employment in those areas and replacing them with high-risk jobs like drug entrepreneurship. And so drug entrepreneurship was the bellwether of the day in these urban settings. Now, you then create a scenario where in these urban settings is the quote-unquote kill zone. Because one, the people are fighting over this stream of revenue. It's limited. Mm-hmm. It's in this block. The police know that it's in this block, right? And so you're getting fired at all angles. Now, you won't back in on it. You've won the war. I mean, we know about the policies, three strikes, the crime bills, the multitude of crime bills that were passed. We all know that history, which made us imprisoned at a historical rate. I think it was a rate, I think at one point, where we were the most imprisoned country in the world, where we have so many prisons. And so many citizens, of which
people in prison, yeah,
right. And we're talking about, we were also overrepresented in the prison system because of that so-called revenue stream. Now, slowly but surely, that's dried up, right? Slowly but surely, that's dried up. No more corner boys, none of that other stuff, right? And we have dispensaries, it's legalized, everything's cool. And we talked about the opioid crisis. You know, we have been talking about the opioid crisis. Actually, the opioid crisis was what we was talking about right before the apocalypse hit. We weren't talking about the opioid crisis. Because it was like, we got to do something about it. Then COVID hits. And the apocalypse starts. And nobody's talking about the opioid crisis. So, coming back to gentrification. You've legalized, because nobody's on the street. You know, during the apocalypse, what, the first month or two? Nobody's on the streets. Coyotes, mountain lions, they're out on the street. But ain't no street walkers. All the walk up business, all that dried up. All of that dried up. You know, throughout the whole world. So now you look here And but we're going to talk about in this here union of states, all of that business is legal. At least the gateway drug was legal, right? Because that's what we say, weed is the gateway drug, marijuana, gateway drug. Now, starting in Oregon, you see how it works. And under the guise of, hey, we're being humanitarian. We're more spiritual people. We now want to work towards healing, rehabilitation. Now, you're still going to be giving out those drugs. But now, once again, you'll be able to get them at the dispensary because it's legal. Because the only people who are going to be able to sell are legal. So now those people who got paid on both ends during the Reagan era, the Just Say No era, where you were bringing it in and getting the money and then appropriating money for a police task force to stop the drug proliferation. So you're just paying yourself on both ends. Now you just pay yourself by being the person who brings in the drugs, and you own all the rehabilitation facilities. So you get the people high, and then...
But then who's paying for that, though? Like, who's paying for the rehab centers? I mean, we can't even get healthcare on track to, you know, to go see a doctor for a common cold. So who's paying for
but But, oh, you will. Look in the mirror. You will. You, I, or as Jean Grey once famously said, you and me and everyone we know. And you and me and everyone we know. And so that's where these taxes going to come in. And so if you look, remember they had the talk about the taxes on the property owners, whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be in neighborhoods, you would have like the gangs, you would have like the mob, which is a gang.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just say the gangs, right? And protection racket, right? You was a business owner, and you had to kick up that money, ho, or I'm gonna kick you.
Basically.
Now with the taxes, whatnot, and the prospects of these type of businesses. So in your corner stores, you might be able to get some heroin, some mushrooms, cocaine, along with your vodka, you know, with your medicinal card, right? You get the memberships, all that other stuff, and they'll have and they'll have protection from the state, because if you're in business, you kicking that money up, and you got protection. So people will know that if you step to them, they can blow your head off, and the state's gonna come and back them up. So that's how I see gentrification. They're like, look, we trying to get this money. And so now they're going to cut you out of what you thought would never be the illegal drug business.
Yeah.
Is about to be taxed and regulated by the state. See,
the marijuana thing. No, I'm not saying I don't see. I just see more harm than good, because marijuana is totally different than, like, I mean, like, people are going to start robbing. It's going to be more robberies and possibly more murders because of it. I mean, marijuana isn't, you know, you've never heard of anybody ODing on marijuana.
Okay. That's not the issue.
I'm just saying, like, I know, and that's what I'm saying, though. That's the problem. Like, at what point did they not think about, like, I don't know, people really trying to get the money now that it's legal, so then it may be a little bit more expensive, too.
All right.
I have a dealer that I've been dealing with for 5 years. He may let me slide a couple of times. A dispensary is not going to do that at all.
All right. So here's my point.
To get the money.
Okay, but that was gonna happen anyway. That's the basic tenets of capitalism. If you want goods and services, sometimes you have to rob folks. You got to rob Peter to pay Paul, as they used to say back in the day.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some people who still say it. So now let's also look at circumstances and geographical location. So, Oregon. Oregon is a militia state. It's a liberal anarchist state. So, if we're looking historically, we just look historically at places. So, some people in certain places, certain right, remember we talked about urban cities and how they were targeted and certain things happened in those cities and these situations boiled over and then boom, we have what we have now.
Yeah.
Let's look at Oregon. Look at Oregon, really. Anarchist state. You know, people talk about Antifa, but Antifa just means anti-fascist.
Yeah.
That's what Antifa means. It's not an organization. It's people who are, quote unquote, anti-fascist.
Yeah.
Now, that is what populates the great state of Oregon. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to give the great state of Oregon, who is full of people who we kind of need to transform them. You give them drugs. We've seen how well it did in the urban areas that we spoke on. We see the results of that right now. So for example, here in Oakland, okay. We're up to, I think, 89 or 90 murders. We haven't got to the Christmas season yet, so we're warming up. But remember I talked about that killing box, right? So there's a certain area. There's a certain area. Hasn't been gentrified. The gentrification process is not working in that area. This folks just, we not moving. So we're talking about, like 45th to about 90th Street. All right, say about 45th to about 90th Street.
Maybe I'm all right, so
98. Say, let's say if we gonna, because I'm saying 40, but maybe I'm going too far down. Maybe we talk about, yeah, like, the 60s.
It's the 50s. No, the 50s. 55.
Okay. So we're talking about, like, from the 50s to the 90s. That area is the killing box, right? That's the non-gentrified area of Oakland. And coincidentally, If you're paying attention to the murders, whenever you hear about a murder, it is in between the 50s and the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last murder, 79th. The one before that, 85th. 82nd. It's in that box.
Yeah.
And so, if we can't get you to move, we'll squeeze you till you shoot each other and kill each other, and then we'll just move in anyway. Because you'll all mm-hmm. be dead.
Yeah.
Gentrification. So, piggyback that back to Oregon. Oregon is a long-standing anarchist state. There, as you saw in Portland, it was on and cracking. Mm-hmm. They were out in the streets every night. It's nuts, right? That was the place mm-hmm. where they were doing all the snatching of people on the street. There's the ones that we saw and the ones we, of course, didn't see. And so,
exactly.
You start thinking, so I legalized the drugs. And I'm going to change the dynamic of that state. I'm going to change the culture. See, because people will tend to vote for what they think is good for them, but in the long term, if you're talking about playing societal checkers and societal chess, the chess move is if you want to destabilize a segment of the population, you let the drugs flow. We know the drug flow will circumvent any positivity. And so, yeah, they'll talk about rehabilitation and all this other stuff, but hey, they're going to be making so much money off of the drugs.
Mm.
Yeah, because capitalism wins. Capitalism wins.
I would again.
Capitalism
is why I have such a hard time with like things like this, because like here I am thinking about rehab and you're like, no, that's not a word.
Yeah,
that's not a care for them. So
but
that's not like the intent though. I mean, I'm thinking that they passed it to get people help. And you're like, no, they're not doing that. They're not trying to help people.
No, I would say this. People will say, I'm a skeptic. Okay. People can say I'm a skeptic. But I would ask the question. In a capitalistic society, when have we ever done anything that was to benefit society? Really? And I'll wait. If y'all got... we can look in the chat room. Somebody tell me, when in America, in American history, have we done something that was not for the money? And I'm talking about policy. Any policy that was like, you know what, this is for the betterment of the American people. And they really and truly meant that shit. Man, I'll wait. Because if you can show me that actually happened in America.
Okay. So then where did I get this ideology from, though, that we're this happy place that want people to thrive and succeed? Like, where did I get that from?
Oh, that's a propaganda.
Because every time I bring it up, I mean, you shoot it down. So I'm just like, okay.
Well, no, I'm not shooting it down. I'm saying there's a reality to a capitalistic system. Because folks is about getting their paper, as they call it, right? We're about getting that paper. So, if we talk about getting that paper, getting those chips, whatever term you want to use, whichever way you want to use it, It's the American way. It's about getting paper. So, yeah, on one end, on paper, it sounds beautiful. Sounds beautiful, right? You know what? We're going to legalize drugs because we want to treat it as a medical problem. We're going to treat it as a medical problem. We're not going to put folks in jail because of drugs. We're going to put folks in jail because of violent crime and whatnot.
But see, that's the thing, though. Isn't that going to lead to violent crime eventually, you think, or no?
Of course.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, not that it's not already an issue anyway, but I just feel like it'd be more of an issue.
So, as I said before, there are three other states: New Jersey, Montana, and South Dakota. Now, as a conspiracy theorist, I may or may not be a conspiracy theorist, but if I'm not mistaken, Montana and South Dakota, those are militia states also?
I thought they were. I mean, I don't know what's what anymore.
It's
conjecture,
right?
I believe at one point in time they were. I mean,
right. So yeah. that may or may not be true. So what I'm saying is this. So and I said it when we had that wonderfully racist guy who called in that night. And mm-hmm. I said, yeah, they know how to angle us, but what you racists don't understand is that, yeah, they use you, but then they wipe you out when you get to a certain point. And so this is the beginning, because they always come for them. They use them to get at to keep us in line, right?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. when you get too powerful, then they come for you. It always happens. And so to all my racist listeners out there, yeah, I'm actually talking about you. Yeah, the American government is gonna come and they gonna get you, because that's the American way.
Some time ago, they had hostages, or they had, what was that?
I think
it was
that was
the whole
Oregon.
Family. It was a father.
Yeah,
and some sons.
That was in Oregon.
Yeah,
that was in Oregon, right? They were at some park or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that you can be subtle, or you can be gorilla pimp. And so, you know, from time to time, the American government can be gorilla pimp, but a lot of times they're just subtle. And so, mm-hmm. once again, gentrification is happening. And so we look at gentrification and we see it in its practical form. But what our racist compadres do not understand is rich elite people don't think too much of you either. They'll tolerate you because you have a practical turn. But when you get a little too powerful for your britches, they're going to come and slaughter you, because we'll say like a third of your population, the third of your membership is agents. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So, mm-hmm. I mean, as I see it, I mean, well, history bears it out. History is always bore it out. I can go through countless historical empirical data here in America. It's like, so Hell, we talk about Free State of Jones. Hey, remember that movie, The Free State of Jones?
No, I've never heard of that movie.
Okay, so there was this movie, The Free State of Jones, where they were part of the Civil War, but they broke away from the Confederacy. And I think it was in, North Carolina. It was one of the southern states, and they wanted to declare a free state of Jones. It's sort of like what they were doing in Texas, where, you know, you always hear those rumblings of people in Texas, we can be our own country, right? And so they wanted to be their own country, and the guy Jones wanted to be the guy in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course, he had white support, and he had some ex-slave support also. Yeah, they start killing the ex-slaves, and the realization once the war was lost, and they started to sweep through the states like, yeah, you're going to be part of the United States. Oh, we're going to kill all of y'all. Which is basically what happened. The majority of them got wiped out, and there was no more Free State of Jones. Give you a birth, and through some of the anarchy, you can get a little bit, but at the end of the day, nope. When you start talking about, I'm going to mess with the empire, and I'm gonna have my little spot, nope. So your Montanas, your South Dakotas, yeah, those are like militia states, right? It's common knowledge that not a lot of people who look like us live there. I mean, we can safely say that the states that Donald Trump, the places where he's winning are places where we probably wouldn't feel all that comfortable living in.
True. I agree.
No. He's winning all of those places where, I don't know, I wouldn't even want to drive a tour bus through there. You know, stopping for gas, you're like, man, I can't fill up fast enough. Longest 10 minutes of your life. So.
Yeah, there are certain places in America I'm just like, I don't even want to drive through. Like, if you're driving cross country and everybody wants to go to the 50 states, there's a few I could not go through, so.
Yeah, there's about 15, 20 of them. We can just, well, but see, then you can say that about pretty much every state, right? Because from L.A. to the Bay Area, there are some places where you're like, nah, nah.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, so it can get scary out there. Anyway. I ain't going to talk about it. We're going to go on break. It's NOG. Speak upon it.
But when it comes to protecting the lives of 22 million Afro-Americans, then all of a sudden Uncle Sam becomes very conscious of legality.
There's no reason that I've been a step for a while. Since if you're black, you get light. But if you're white, you're on trial. Ain't nothing to it. Just like that Chuck Charles Stewart. They're always claiming that the devil made me do it for insurance. He killed his wife and his child and blamed it on a brother and raped up for a while. He had the media believing the Esau fables. And all the whites were like, I can't wait till they catch the Baptist. I hope they find him. They were sure that he did it. There's no need to try and they're really been it. Who was in it to win it? Got fast and harassed because they were sure he did it. And the thing that really ticked me off and truly offended me, it's a fucking funny to reinstate the death penalty for a brother man, but not the other man. And when they found out he killed to himself, who on the other hand, now it's inhumane. Bring it back in what you did, but his brother confessed he was with it. so give him the chair. But that won't happen with that Pope Congress. Glenn and Mickey Roach, you better just watch for us. I don't want to hear that you're sorry for me. After you tore up and started the world in a black community. What type of justice has been done? What would have happened if I shot his son? I would have been killed, taken to a chamber and filled up with gas. But nothing has happened fast, so I had to take two extra steps and put it on wax because I couldn't let it rest. Why? Because I can't stand to see Satan smile and get away with taking the life of a child. You're fit to do it. So now your motto is, the more bullets, the less blacks live. You better watch your back, you murderer, but what you want. But for now, yo, I guess I gotta speak upon it.
We've got to come together, pull our efforts, our strength, our finance, and build our own nation. The Chinese did it in Rome, Chinatown.
Let me speak upon this with the radical takers. I take time to talk about the systematic breakdown and deliberate destruction with miseducation of the Nubian nation. Starting in kindergarten, continuing through college. They continue to teach you trick knowledge and call it education, but I call it training. Washing your brain is attaining and maintaining the American dream. But to me, it's a nightmare because it keeps you right where they want you to be. Mentally, physically, and monetarily. As you go merrily, merrily, merrily down the street, but it's more like a shit creek. Without a paddle and the boat out of reach, we start drowning in all that shit. Getting deeper. My center, choke cold, or should I say, sleeper, but I ain't going out like Rip Van Winkle, so you can't gas me up anymore. And I think you know that I can see clearly now. The rain is gone, it's right outside. I see the light, and I'ma speak upon it. You know what I'm saying? Cause all that shit they taught me in school, I'm not enough to zero. Wrong. Abraham Lincoln ain't my motherfucking hero.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Ed OG. Speak on it. Our call-in number is 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435.
All right. So, presidential election is here. What's your prediction, Brown Sugar?
I have nothing. I've been watching Law and Order and now in Columbo all day.
Are you on the new Columbo or are you on the old Columbo?
It's like season one, so yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
I've been watching it here and there. I took a walk, did some other stuff. I'm not trying to get into all that.
Yeah, I mean, folks are stressed out. They're like, oh, it's election day. I look at social media, folks are stressed out. Just, you see on TV, people are stressed out. I'm like, why are y'all
stressed out? like all last week. I was stressed out about it last night, and then today, you know, I was just, you know, either way, nothing is going to change for me and my family.
Right.
My
right.
whole thing is, you know, well, for some people, it changes everything. I don't know who these people are, but apparently for some people, it changes everything, because I just feel like, you know, people have just really been, I don't know, just showing their ass. My dad used to say, you come over here showing your ass, and yeah, people have just looking and showing their ass.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's what I'm sad about. I guess that's what, like, my anxiety has been about, like, how you don't think people as a whole are one way, and they prove you wrong, or they really show who they really are. And I just, you know, it's kind of disheartening.
I'm
all about peace and love. So, you know,
yeah.
when it's not that way, it's really hard for me. Like, I don't get it. I don't get the anger and I just don't get it.
Oh, well, once again, we're talking about people who, for them, it is the participation in the power dynamic. Because once again,
yeah.
we've never participated in the power dynamic like they propose to. And so even though the semblance of power for them is fugazi, they don't necessarily have power. You know, and it's funny because I watch the Fox News on this stuff because I always like to see propaganda, because propaganda is hilarious to me. And so they have watch parties for presidential elections. People are out there getting drunk, whatnot. And so there's a lot of places where there's going to be cheers, and then a lot of places there's going to be angry folks who going to go home and beat their wife and kids. Hopefully nobody gets murdered. Right? I'm just saying, we know that it's going to happen, because folks is like that.
I can't.
But we're talking about that. That's how they participate in the power discussion, because it's articulated to them in a way where we know the reality. Whoever wins, they still not going to listen to us. I mean, we'll get incremental movement. You know, we might get an extra hour of attention, and you might get a few more dollars thrown at us, right? A few more dollars thrown at us. Which is, you know, that's what we expect here. Now, for the other folks, because I remember 2016 when you had a bunch of Democrats ready to leave the country, moving to Canada, because Donald Trump won. And now you're going to have a whole bunch of folks in the Midwest and in these places that we're not comfortable in, feeling like we got nowhere to go, we lost the country, and they'll wake up the next day and the sun will have come up and nothing will have changed. Because the sun's gonna come up and nothing's going to change. So yeah, cool your heels, everybody. No matter what side you're on, it's going to be the same. As a matter of fact, that's a good enough intro to go into Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
So, folks, like to use black folks' name in vain. Why? No, why?
I'm
not
sure.
Just use
them.
So Keith Olbermann, formerly of MSNBC and ESPN, he did a tweet where he said Donald Trump is a whiny Kunta Kinte. Yeah. So,
I'm confused.
Yeah, right. He said Donald Trump is a whiny Kunta Kinte. Supposedly, a whiny Kunta Kinte is supposed to be an insult to Donald Trump. When actually, you could say, nah, dude, that's an insult to Kunta Kinte. Because one, Kunta Kinte was a real live person. He was a slave that tried to run away multiple times till they cut off his foot so he couldn't run anymore. And Kunta Kinte was his name, but they beat him until he would admit that his name was Toby from Alex Haley's The Root. The Root series.
I'm confused. I just don't see how that's like an insult to Donald Trump.
Right.
I don't even know what a whiny Kunta Kinte is. Like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what does that mean? Even, like.
Right.
I don't know.
Makes sense. Right. And most folks said. And most folks in Twitter was like, wait, that made no little sense. That made no sense in context. But
no.
Once again, you have folks who use black folks' name in vain. And so even with him supposedly trying to get at Trump, Why Kunta Kinte couldn't be in it? Why couldn't he say he was a whiny or whatever? Your Elmer Fudd, you know, no, some character that we know is pathetic. You're like a whiny Wile E. Coyote. You know, a character that we know historically is pathetic. That's not real.
I mean,
he
would have been better off calling him a brat or a little girl. I don't know. He could have just called him
right.
a wussy.
Well,
I mean,
right. that's what
I'm saying. Anything
but that. Right. Groundhog Day says that you use black folks as the insult because the person of African descent is the lowest. See, as you would say, Freudian slip, because people would say Freudian slips would only be under the context of sexual, but actually a Freudian slip would be like how you really think. And so in context you say it, because this wasn't something that he said like we're doing this show live right now, and so if we make that slip, it was live. We didn't have time to really think it out unless people believe that we actually sit here and read off a teleprompter, which I promise you we do not. So, you know, the point
I
is,
hope we don't. At least, at the very least, we don't.
Yeah, that I have no hand in my back puppeteering me, and I don't think you have one in your back either. But we talk about the psychological context of him saying "whiny Kunta Kinte." So, as we know, Kunta Kinte is a real person. And we know Kunta Kinte was a slave. And to say that and use it under the context of an insult is insulting to us.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I mean, I am insulted, but then again, I'm not, because it's hard to be insulted with something that's stupid at the same time. I'm like,
right, but
I don't get it. So I can't really genuinely be like totally insulted, but I feel like, okay, you should have never used Kunta Kinte's name ever, but yeah, it makes no sense, so I'm just gonna leave it alone.
Right. He tweeted it out. So that means you thought about it and you put it out there. And that's Kunta Kinte, an insult. Whiny Kunta Kinte. Nah. You know, because, you know, first thing he would say, I'm not racist, but under the context, you can say it's not racism. It's just, it is the result of racism. Because the result of racism says, subconsciously, you say Kunta Kinte, whiny Kunta Kinte, is an insult. When one can say that Kunta Kinte is an individual that is not to be put out as a figure to be insulted. I mean, he spent most of his time trying to get free, to the point where he was disfigured for trying to be free.
He was maimed.
Now, and under that context, you know, Trump signed the executive order in response to the 1619 project. He did executive order. Well, the executive order was for the 1776 commission. And so what the 1776 commission is supposed to do is to create a curriculum that teaches patriotic education in schools. I'm like,
oh yeah, I remember that.
I'm like,
I thought that could be always
Aren't we already doing that?
I thought so, unless they've changed. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard about it, but unless they've already changed it.
All right, so excuse us for the technical difficulties. Apparently talking about curriculum that we already know exists, patriotic curriculum that we know already exists is enough to get you kicked off.
Right.
I'm like, you're going to create, is there anything new that they can create that doesn't already exist? There's nothing new that you're going to teach. You teach the same history from elementary. All right.
I was going to say, they don't want you talking about this.
You know what? It's looking like Trump is not going to win. It's looking like he's not going to win. I could be wrong, but the scenario didn't work out for him when he lost Arizona. And for the record, Proposition 22 is passing, but the rent control didn't pass. It's weird. It's weird how the stuff that doesn't benefit people passes, and the stuff that would benefit people doesn't pass.
That happens every year.
On the local level.
Yeah.
So we're here at the end, and right now, as we speak, Joe Biden has the 238 to 213 Electoral College vote win with about five states left. About five or six states left. So it's looking like it's going to happen. But it's the apocalypse. So I reserve the right to say, I don't know what the hell's going to go on.
You know, you really don't.
Right. And that's the beauty of it.
It's possible.
All right. So we get to wake up tomorrow and conjecture on what's going to happen, because they're not going to call a winner tonight. But the way it's looking, legally, homie can't win unless he sweeps all of the remaining states. So we'll see. So that protest and all that other stuff, it's looking like it's coming. And on that note, if you want to continue talking about it, you can go to the Smooth Drama site. We'll be there to talk about it. Not. That's it for us. For Miss Brown Sugar, I'm Mr. F the N-Word. This is yet another Smooth Drama production, and we're out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth.